It's one of the greatest stories in the Old Testament. It's a story about the prophet Elisha, who is the successor of Elijah. And the passage that Brenda read for us out of 2 Kings is actually the first of five miracle stories, or stories of wonder, when the power of God is manifested through the prophet Elisha, and the people are absolutely amazed and astounded, which is exactly the way they were at the miracles of Jesus. This first story is a story that touches our hearts, because it's a story of desperation. It's a story of a poor woman, a widow, who is pleading for the lives of her two children. She's facing a critical economic crisis. Her husband has died. And in a patriarchal society, that means that she's left without any means of support. And she has no resources. And as a result of this, the creditors, like vultures, begin to descend and to circle. And when they discover that she has no physical or financial resources, they resort to what was called debt slavery. If you could not pay your bills, then you or members of your family were sold into slavery to satisfy the debt. This woman has two children, and the creditors are getting ready to take the two children as slaves to satisfy her debts. This poor woman is desperate. This poor woman is pleading for the lives of her two children, and she comes to the prophet. And she opens herself up to the prophet, and she pleads her case. She is desperate. She needs any type of help that he can give. And that is when the prophet Elisha asked one simple question. What do you have? And she said, nothing. I don't have anything except I have one small jar of oil. That's all that I have. And then Elisha said, okay, this is what I want you to do. I want you and your two children to go to all of the neighbors and collect all of the vessels that you can find. I want you to go and I want you to get all of the bowls and all of the cups and all of the pots and all of the pans and all of the containers. Get all of the jugs. Get everything. And then he says, and don't just get a few, but get many. And once they had gone around and collected all of these containers, all of these vessels, then the prophet sends her into the house with her two children. And he said, now, I want you to take the small jar of oil and I want you to start to pour. And she started to pour into the vessels, into all of the bowls, into all of the cups, all of the pots and all of the pans, all of the different containers. And of course, the miracle was the oil never stopped flowing. It never stopped until she ran out of containers. And then the oil stopped. And Elisha said, now you can go and sell that oil to satisfy your debts and to keep your children. Isn't that a remarkable story? Many of you were involved in the study we just completed on the 23rd Psalm. And there is a wonderful book that is written by Dr. Harold Kushner, who is noteworthy for his book, When Bad Things Happen to Good People. But I think his book on the 23rd Psalm may be the very best thing he ever wrote. Dr. Kushner talks about that phrase, "My cup runneth over." And he uses this story, and he says that he preached a sermon on this passage one time about Elisha. And this is what Dr. Kushner said. "Our ability to enjoy God's blessings is more of a function of our capacity to receive them than of any limitations of God's ability to bless us." And he asked the question. He said, "Would you like to feel that your life is more blessed? Then get a bigger cup. Get a bigger cup to receive God's blessings," just like Charlotte. She had the big cup, so she received more than everyone else. God wants to bless all of us, but it's just a willing of how open we want to be and how much we want to receive. A number of years ago, my friend Mac Mast introduced me to a song. You remember that, Mac? We heard it every morning in Belize. It's a country song. "I'm drinking from my saucer because my cup has overflowed." I'm sure that's going to be a classic one day. But that's the truth that is here. You see, the question that God is asking us is, what do you have? What do you have? And I think most of us are like that widow. We'll start out and say, "Oh, well, I don't have anything. I don't have anything." The question that the commitment committee and the church is asking you is simply, what do you have? What do you have to give? What do you have to share? What are your gifts and your abilities, your talents? We often say, "I don't have anything," but we have much more than we realize. I did something this week. We have the most wonderful group of young people in this church. And we always say they're so gifted and they're so talented. But do we really know, do you really know what you have? I sent an email out to our youth and the parents. And I asked them to let me know what type of musical groups that they are involved with and what honors and awards they have received. And I just want to share the responses with you. And I'm going to apologize at the very beginning because I know that I did not hear from everyone and I'm leaving somebody out and I don't mean to do that. But I'm going to share with you the information that I received. Central Davidson has one of the best band programs in this area. The Central Davidson 8th grade band, a band that recently received a superior rating in grade 4 music, that's the type of music high school bands usually play, has a number of our young people, Sam Amos, Meredith Belk, Ben Dorsey, Casey Beck, and Andy Killebrew. Sam is in the all-county band. Andy is in the all-county band, first chair for trombone and third chair in the all-district band. Casey Beck is in the all-county band for three different things: first chair mallets, first chair timpani, and second chair snare drum. Tori Hauser and Grace St. Singh are in the Tyro Middle School band. They both play the flute. Matt Johnson is in the North Davidson High School band. He's going to play the saxophone for us in just a few minutes. But Matt is also the section leader in his band for French horns. Courtney Foster, Emerson Williams, and Chris Clem are all in the Central Davidson High School band. Chris is all county, all district. Emerson plays the oboe in honors band. She's made all-county band for 2 years, first chair both years, and second chair in the district band. Victoria Fowler has been playing the piano since the second grade and has received 6 blue ribbons. Now I'm going to just name the young people in our church that are in either middle school or high school, chorus or glee club. Jillian Briggs, Courtney Sims, Kyler Bird, Tori Hauser, Grace St. Singh, Sheldon Bailey, Olivia Brown, Ashley Phillips, Courtney Foster, Chris Clem, Jackson McCarthy, Nolan O'Brien, Jack Davis, Griffin Gray, Bailey Gray, Will Lancaster, Lily Thornhill, Madeline Rector, Mary Caroline Sharp, Sam Sharp, Colin Beamer. Now these are the ones that have either made all county, all district, North Carolina honors, or all state, or some of these, all of the above. Courtney Foster, Colin Beamer, Jack Davis, Olivia Brown, Griffin Gray, Jackson McCarthy, Nolan O'Brien, Madeline Rector, Mary Caroline Sharp, Sam Sharp, Bailey Gray, Will Lancaster, Lily Thornhill, Chris Clem. I'm not finished. In addition to this, Jack and Maddie and Colin were selected by audition to participate in the Mars Hill College Choral Clinic last November. In addition to this, Jackson McCarthy, and he is involved in every choral group imaginable, he also has sung the national anthem at the Winston-Salem Dash baseball game, a Carolina Panthers football game, and a few weeks ago he was selected by audition to participate this summer in the North Carolina Baptist All-State Youth Choir. They will be touring the state this summer and will also be involved in mission work. And in addition to this, two of our young people, Jack Davis and Maddie Rector, were selected by audition out of over 4,000 students to be a part of a 280 National American Choral Directors Choir Honor Choir in Dallas, Texas. What do you have? Don't we have a talented group of young people? You're just so gifted. Now, what do you have? You say, oh, I don't have anything, but yes, you do. And you see, the principle is this. It's not just what you have, but where did you receive it? Because the bottom line of commitment is gratitude. It's understanding that all of these gifts that our young people have, all of the giftedness that we find in this congregation, that's not anything that we did. It's a gift. It is God's gracious gift as He has given us grace upon grace. And Dr. Kushner said gratitude is rooted in the sense that our life and all of our talents are gifts. And you see, the essence of a gift is that it comes to you from someone else, not by our own efforts. But it is a physical representation of the love and caring that the giver feels toward you. That's why a gift is so special. Joyce and I have a beautiful clock on the mantle in our den. It's a clock that's over 100 years old. And I'm sure that it has some monetary value. But you know why it's so special? My grandmother gave me that clock. And when I was a little boy, I used to love that clock at her house. And when I would spend the night, I would hear the chiming of the clock at night. And when I got a little older, I would remind her and help her wind the clock. That's why the clock is so special. If you're a grandparent like we are, you probably have some drawings on your refrigerator. I have something like this that I received just a couple of weeks ago. Now, you're probably not going to find this in a museum of art, but my granddaughter, Ella Ray, gave this to me, and that's why it has a place on my refrigerator. I have a painted egg. I bet a lot of you have one of these too. There's no way that we could put a value on these eggs because these were painted by Gail Lanning. In my office, if you ever come in there, I can show you a lot of the stuff that I have, and a lot of it you wouldn't understand, like this. This is a rubber ducky. Now you say, well, I wonder why the preacher has a rubber ducky in his office. Yeah, I'm not really fond of rubber duckies. And this is certainly not a very expensive one. You left the tag on, $5.99. I really think Joyce bought it. But you see, the first time we went to Macon, Georgia for passport, you all remember? The youth gave this to me. And it'll always have an honored place in my office. What do you have? And where did you receive it? When we understand that all of the gifts that we have and the resources that we have are not anything that we've earned, but they are gifts of God, then we're willing to share. It's like that story that Tony Campolo told about being in Philadelphia one day, and he's walking down the street and he has on a nice business suit with all the other business people, and there's a homeless man. There's an old guy standing there, probably hadn't had a bath in months. The fella is actually rather repulsive to look at, and this homeless man is standing there sipping a cup of coffee. And for some reason, he singles out Campolo and he said, "Hey, buddy, You want a sip of my coffee?" Well, Campolo said, "I was just going to run on by." But something, and if you know anything about Tony Campolo, you know that he would be the one to stop and take a sip of the guy's coffee. And so he did. And then he looked at the man and said, "You're being mighty generous today. What's gotten into you?" And the homeless guy said, "Well, I believe when God has given you something good, you need to share it." Well, Campolo thought, okay, here comes the rest. He's going to hit me up for some money. I can tell you when somebody shows up at the church, "A preacher, I just want to talk to you. I just need the preacher to pray with me." Isn't this right, Tommy? There's always more. And Campolo thought, well, he's going to have to ask me for some money. So the guy said, or Campolo said, "Okay, what can I do for you?" He said, "Mister, I need a hug. Would you give me a hug?" And there in downtown Philadelphia on a busy street, here's Tony Campolo in a nice business suit hugging a homeless man who was so filthy that most people wouldn't even look. What do you have? Where did you receive it? When God gives you something good, we need to share. Let us pray. Dear God, you have blessed us and you have blessed our church in ways that we cannot even begin to imagine. We pray that we would take what we have and we would be willing to pour. We would be willing to give and we would be willing to share. Because you have given everything for us. In Christ's name, amen.